Good morning. We continue today with our sermon series called Crossing the Threshold. You remember that here in this month of January, we are in this kind of changeover time period where we're in a threshold between two kinds of experiences. And this is a chance for us to pause and reflect a little bit about who we have been and who we are called to be. And so we've been talking in these weeks about four different thresholds that God invites us to cross over. We've talked about moving from the past into the future. We've looked at moving from isolation into community. We've heard about stepping out of the crowd and into being a disciple. And now this week, in the fourth and final installment of our series, we're talking about crossing over from faith into sight, from faith into sight. This might seem like kind of a surprising choice given the song we just sang, which was called We Walk by Faith and Not by Sight. But stick with me because I hope I can explain this idea as we get going today. But first, I want to see just a quick show of hands. How many of you are planning to stick around today for our annual meeting and brunch? Who's sticking for the annual meeting and brunch? Looks like a good number of you. You know, it takes some faith to raise your hand and say you're going to do this kind of thing. You know, we've been saying again and again that our meeting will be quite brief. How brief will it be? It takes faith. We've been saying that there'll be some delicious foods downstairs waiting. How delicious will it be? It takes faith. We've been saying that slideshow, the end of the year pictures, is going to be a really great time. But will it really? You wonder. It takes some faith. You know, there's always a question in our minds when it comes to questions of faith. The Bible says that faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. But we are a people of faith. And even so, in our faith, we sometimes need some encouragement. And I want to suggest to you today that this threshold we're talking about crossing from faith into sight has to do with the multitude of little ways that God seeks to encourage us in our faith. That crossing from faith into sight is not to say goodbye to our faith, but it is to enter into a time of watching and waiting, looking for signs that God is at work. And so this is what we might call sight, or even sightings today. Little glimpses that tell us something is happening. If we are attentive to these things, we might grow in our faith. So for all of you who have the faith to stay today for our meeting and the brunch that's coming up, I want to offer an encouragement to you. It's a sighting. It's Gina Bay. Yes. Just imagine the great pictures you're going to see downstairs and the conversation I'm going to have with Gina after worship. Just think about that. So I want to encourage you not only to stay today, but also in your faith with Jesus Christ this morning. So as we begin and get into this topic, let's pray together. Let's pray. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us this day. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The Old Testament story that we read together today is probably the best example of the threshold that we are crossing over today. It's from moving faith into sight. You remember that the Bible starts out Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. These are the first five books of the Bible. They're also called the Pentateuch. And they form the core of the Hebrew Scriptures. So our story today comes from the last chapter of the last book of the Pentateuch. And it tells the story of the death of Israel's first great leader, Moses. And this is a familiar story to us, whether we know it or not. I suspect that we have heard a version of it many times, again and again, over the years, especially in the month of January, this month when we mark the life and legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. You remember that this story was the inspiration for his famous I Have a Dream speech, in which he said, I have been to the mountaintop, just like Moses, and I have seen the promised land, just like Moses. And I might not get there with you, just like Moses. And this is a familiar story because Moses shows up throughout the Hebrew Scriptures and even into the New Testament. He was a great leader of the Hebrew people of the Old Testament and an exemplar or a model for faith for us of what it looks like to follow God. Prior to this passage from Deuteronomy this morning, Moses has been leading the Hebrew people for the past 40 years all through the wilderness. Trusting God, he brought them up out of Egyptian slavery, and he's spent all these years trying to keep people's faith and hope alive as they journey wandering with some wrong turns and detours along the way on their route towards the promised land. So Moses is this classic example from Scripture of a life well lived with God. And here at the very end of his life, he receives his reward. God brings him up on a mountaintop. And mountaintops in the Bible are always a place where something special or spiritual can happen. It's the place where heaven meets earth. This is a mountaintop experience. Whenever in the Bible someone goes up a mountain, we need to pay attention because something important is about to happen. So God brings Moses up the mountain and shows him all the land that is set out before him. And God says, "This is the land that I promised to your ancestors, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. This is the land of promise, and I wanted you to see it with your own eyes." And Moses' faith becomes sight. His faith is confirmed. He gets to see, finally, all those things he had worked for and lived for and believed in. But then God says, "You will not cross over into it." Moses dies and is buried, and the people mourn his loss. So Moses sets for us a kind of example of a life lived in faith, but also of the way that God is faithful in giving a reward. Of course, unlike Moses, our reward doesn't come in our lives. It comes after our lives, how God welcomes us home, in how God gathers us in, and how God says to us, finally, "Well done, good and faithful servant." In this life, Paul writes in the letter of the First Corinthians, we see only dimly as in a mirror, but then at the end of life, we shall see clearly, even face to face. And that's kind of our hope. That's our what we wait on. That God will do this for us in the end. But there's a problem here. There's a problem here because this is probably good news for us in an ultimate and final and even eschatological way. But what about today? Is this good news for you and me today and in these days and in these regular kind of times of our lives? Well, in order to get at the good news that's in this story, I know it is, I want us to reframe our thinking a little bit about faith and sight. We know that maybe sight isn't the word we want to use. Maybe it's sightings, not like Elvis sightings or UFO sightings or Bigfoot sightings. But what I mean by that is somehow a time when we can sense or experience God, these whispers or murmurings, indications or hints. All along the way. You probably remember that old story, and even if you've heard it before, bear with me, about a man who lived in a flood zone. And the warning went out for the flood. Everyone needed to evacuate, but this man, he wouldn't go. And he said, "Don't worry, God will save me." And so as the water rose, a neighbor came by in a 4x4 pickup truck and offered him a ride and said, "Let's get out of here." He said, no, "God will save me." And the water rose, and the man went up to the second floor of his house. And a motorboat came by and said, "Get in, let's go." And he said, "Don't worry about me, God will save me." And then the water rose higher, and the man had to climb up onto his rooftop. And a helicopter came and lowered down a cable. And the pilot shouted, "Grab hold, and I'll take you out of here to safety." And the man said, "Don't worry about me, God will save me." And the man drowned. And he went to heaven, and he went directly to God and said, "God, what happened here? I thought you were going to save me." And God said, "I sent you a truck, I sent you a boat, and I sent you a helicopter. Didn't you see that I was trying to save you?" So the threshold that we're crossing here is into faithful watching or noticing, being on the lookout for indications that God is with us as we go. In the New Testament story that we read today, Jesus brings his disciples up onto a mountaintop. This is another mountaintop experience. And it says that Jesus was transfigured before them. His clothes became gleaming white. His glory shone out. They saw him no longer as a mere human, the carpenter's son, but as God incarnate. Emmanuel, God with us, full of light and life. And people representing the law and prophets, Moses and Elijah, were there with him. And the disciples do something that I think we often do, which is they assume they've been brought there to do something. What can we do? How can we help Jesus? Do you need a folding chair? They try and set up some tents, some shelters. Maybe that's what we're here to do. But the purpose of the transfiguration in the Bible is not that Peter and James and John should do something. Instead, it is showing them something that God is doing. The purpose for them is to see who Jesus is somewhat more clearly, so that their faith may be bolstered and built up. Their task was not to do all the things that jumped into their minds. It was simply to notice, to witness, to see. Now, we are a people of faith, and our faith is in the living and invisible God. But the step of faith that I'm inviting you to consider taking today is to be attentive, to look out for sightings of God in our midst. God shows up in so many different ways. We see God in the beauty of nature, maybe out on a long walk or a sunset over a lake, in the intricacy of a snowflake or a fallen leaf. We see God in the wonder of worship, in a song or that speaks to us, or a prayer that lifts our spirits. We can see God in the words of Scripture, be it here in worship or in a Bible study time or even in a private devotional reading. We can see God in mission and service, maybe out on a work site or a food pantry, where we have a sense that God's Spirit is in this place somehow. We can see God in our fellowship and our life together as a church, maybe at a supper at TNT or even around a table, the brunch, following this worship service today. How do you see God in your life? What is a sighting that you've noticed as you think about your life? I don't mean a mountaintop experience necessarily. I don't mean that you've seen the promised land. But where do you see God at work for you? What are the indications? What are the hints? What are the clues? God calls us to faith, and our faith is deepened as we actively take look out for the places that God is with us, the way that we watch for God in our lives. And so we cross over from faith into sightings, and then we cross back again. We cross over from faith into sightings, and then back again, because these bits of grace, these reminders of God's presence with us, these holy moments don't happen every day. We may not notice them all the time, and we can feel like we're on our own. But it's in those moments, those times, when we notice them, that we're being built up like disciples on a mountaintop. We are given something to carry with us into the rest of our lives. Because we're not meant to live on a mountaintop, instead on the uneven places, the roughness of our lives. So the purpose of holy noticing and watching is being built up and encouraged in faith. As we come back from the mountain, back into the regularness of our lives, we continue to walk with faith. You know, just 2 hours from now, this whole church building will be empty. And you'll be gone, and I hope I will be too. We'll be out again into the things that we have waiting for us, into the regularness of our lives. But my prayer for you today, my hope, is that you will cross over from your everyday faith into a particular knowledge that God is with you, that God is alive in you, that God is leading you in your life. And with that knowledge, may you then cross over back out into what you have ahead of you, built up in your faith, on the lookout for the signs of God, and trusting that God is with you all along the journey of your life, from beginning to end. Amen.